So anyway, very thankful they're here this morning. All right, folks, if you have your Bible with you, if you'd open them up to the book of 1 John. We're going back to chapter 4. And I believe of all the chapters in John, this one you could really call, you know, I know 1 Corinthians 13 is called the love chapter, but really this is the love chapter. This is where it really talks a lot about love. And today he's kind of switching gears a little bit, but it has a connection with that idea of love, okay? And we'll see that as we go on here. Let's go ahead and read verse 18 through 19. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Brother Russ, would you ask a blessing upon this word?
Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we come before you, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, to prepare our hearts and our minds for your word, Lord, that we will receive it, that it will take root and grow in each and every one of us. Lord, we give you all of the glory, for it is all yours. We give you the praise in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
You know, I've always been amazed when I was, even when I was walking in the world, I had a lot of friends, even family, who loved to go to horror movies, loved to see anything that would scare them. I got to be honest with you, even back then, I did not like watching that stuff. I liked sleeping at night, you know. Especially as a kid, I spent many a night with the light on, you know, thinking that something's going to crawl out from underneath my bed or out of the shadows, you know. And honestly, it's a real tragedy today that I think that that a lot of parents allow their kids to see horror movies at a real young age, and they don't realize how traumatic that can be for a young, little person, you know, a young person. I remember the first time that I saw a science fiction movie. It was called Teenagers from Outer Space. And these teenagers from outer space had these ray guns that would shoot people and turn them into skeletons. And I years later, when I was a grown man, I saw this movie, and I just laughed because it was so hokey, you know. But back then, it scared the daylights out of me. And we are so often are desensitized into thinking what will scare a child and what have you. I want you to think about this for a moment. In God's eyes, we are all his children. Can anybody say amen to that? And we allow so many fearful things to come against us. But in particular, this is the one I think that the enemy uses against us more than anything else. And like you'll see here that John uses two words here again that are different than what he's used in the past here. Fear and torment. Okay? Now, again, we got to ask ourselves, you know, well, this is written for believers. So what we got to ask ourselves is it possible for Christians to actually live in fear and torment? Yeah. If you allow yourself to see and do things that you ought not, because the enemy keeps you from comprehending and understanding the love that God has for you. Do you all follow me where I'm going with this? Many Christians experience fear day in and day out because they're walking carnally. They're walking after the ways of this world. And again, if we haven't fully comprehended the love that God has for us, in other words, understanding how much God loves us, you know, and folks, that kind of love is only going to be found out through time and through study and through application of God's word. It's going to be something that's kind of tried and proven in your life for you to be able to truly comprehend how much God loves you. But it also is by revelation of the Holy Spirit. The more you seek God, the more of the Holy Spirit God gives you to have that understanding and comprehension of how much he really loves you. It's important that to understand that without a doubt, God's desire is for you to know this, how much he loves you, and to be able to comprehend that. And that's what we're told in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 19. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through, listen, his spirit in the inner man. Remember I told you when I was a little kid? I just wished that there was somebody who would come and you know, mom and dad or somebody come sleep in the bed with me to keep me company, you know, because I was fearful of the things that I felt were around me because I experienced unreasonable fear. But God wants us to be strengthened with might in the inner man so that we won't be fearful. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love, not just any love, but the love of God, knowing that love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, notice this is for everybody, what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. We can't even comprehend it. He loves you more than you can know. That you may be filled with the fullness of God. You see, where God is, fear has to go. Anything that is contrary to God has to go. Anything that's contrary to his nature, which is love, has to go. And again, the fear here is not in not it's in not understanding God's love for you. Again, he doesn't want you to be tormented by any uncertainty. He wants you to have a confidence, a knowledge that is steadfast and that is sure. Now, the world gives us a lot of reasons to fear, doesn't it? And a lot of reasons to justify our fear, you know. But I'm here to tell you that fear that comes from the enemy is not healthy for us in one, in not one iota. The unknown that's ahead of us a lot of time, the enemy will use that against us. And it can be very, very intimidating, and it can paralyze us. For example, this pandemic that's caused anxiety and fear to cause a lot of people just to be paralyzed with fear and not knowing what's coming next, you know. And the riots and all those things are doing the same thing. And truly, it's affecting everybody, of which I've never seen the likes of it in my lifetime. I've never seen this before. But, you know, the Bible tells us that fear is one of the identifying marks of the last days. In the book of Luke 21, verse 25 through 32, it says, "And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity and the seas and the waves roaring." You know, distress of nations with perplexities. I just want to touch on that for a second because modern news media doesn't cover what's going on in the Middle East right now. There are things that are happening right now that people are not even aware of, you know. And a lot of people are turning against Turkey, for example, right now. And all of this is setting up that last day Magog invasion that's going to come against Israel. And it says, what will happen is men's heart failing them for fear and the expectation. Notice the word expectation, that they're expecting tough times, horrible times. Expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, again, like it says, it doesn't say to freak out. It says, if you're a believer, to lift up your heads because your redemption draws nigh. And then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. Now, I want you to remind you that the fig tree is a national symbol of Israel. So we see, it says, when they are already budding, you see and know for yourself that summer is now near. So you, when you see these things happen, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. So we know that because Israel is now budding as a nation. I mean, God has literally created a garden, a blossoms in the desert with the nation of Israel. And that evidence, and the fact they're back in the land again, it says a generation won't pass until these things be fulfilled. And so the thing we have to remember is that we can keep ourselves from being swept away with fear if we know and understand the love that God has for those who love and fear him. And again, the opposite of fear is what? It's faith and trust. Isn't that right? We need to continually remind ourselves that as we trust the Lord, all things are possible. Amen? I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 through 11. And if you're a believer, I hope this will give comfort to your heart. Because this, all the things that are happening around us, everybody is just so fearful of the things that are going to happen to them. If there was a word to describe, a couple of words to describe what's going on in the world today, it's freaking out. People are freaking out over all these things. But the promise to the believer says this in verse 9, then we're going to read through 11. God did not appoint us to wrath. Let's say that all together. God did not appoint us to wrath. But what? It says, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now, I want you to particularly notice verse 11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. So we are to comfort one another with these words, just as it said in the last chapter. We are to edify, build up one another, encourage one another in the faith. Keep your eyes on the things that are to come in Christ Jesus, not what's coming upon this world of wickedness. Isaiah 26, 1 through 4, the Lord said to the nation of Judah, in that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You who keep him, you will keep him. Listen, this is the verse I want you to get to so you can hear this. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Because why? Because he trusts in you. And then it says, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, which is the name of God, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. His strength, not our strength, not by our power, not by our might, but it's by his strength. Amen? It's by his spirit. But I was in the rescue mission on Monday, and I was teaching the men, and we were talking about all these things that are happening, and they were going, yeah, man, it's weird stuff. It's just weird stuff, you know. And I said, well, I want to read a chapter from the book of Psalms that should comfort your hearts. And I hope to do the same thing with you all this morning. Turn with me to Psalm 91. Now, I want to point this out, the fact that if you are in Christ Jesus, you are part of the body of Christ, right? We're an extension to him. Therefore, the promises for him are for us as well. Y'all believe me? We can prove it through Scripture, okay? But look at verse 1 through 11. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where's the secret place of the Most High? We're hidden in Christ. We're hidden in Christ. That's the secret place. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare and the fowler and from, listen, the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. It boils down, do we trust the Lord to do that? You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. Listen, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look, and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. I would think that that should give some of us some hope and clear up a lot of things. Folks, we are in a battle, whether we want to admit it or not. And the battlefield is our minds. That's the battlefield. You know, when we fear, our minds, it affects the whole body. But also, you know, the body can affect the mind too, you know. And when a person reacts to fear, anxiety, worry, and stress, did you know the body secretes natural chemicals that really actually what it's doing is preparing your body to die rather than to help you to live? It's one of the reasons why fear has torment. Now, whether a person feels joy or sorrow, every cell in your body is going to respond to one of those emotions. Body has the same chemical reaction to joy. The Bible says joy works like a medicine. Laughter works like a medicine, you know. But I'm telling you just the opposite. When you have fear, anxiety, and stress, all those things work against your body that are not healthy. The purpose is to destroy. Again, information about what's going on around a person as it enters into us, you know, and as it begins to entangle with our senses and what have you, that's when we have our battle, you know. Learning to battle against what our natural senses say, because faith goes against our natural senses, doesn't it? It's totally opposite. But I'm here to tell you that God wants us not to rely only on our natural senses, but on faith. Believing in something that you cannot see. And when the storms of life, when they come, or when someone is stressed or worried, anxious, and even depressed, again, the ultimate root of that usually can be found in the emotion of fear that the enemy uses against us. Again, this is the greatest tool the enemy uses to destroy both unbeliever and believer. I've heard it said, faith is the currency of heaven, and fear is the currency of hell. And I see that the Lord teaches his disciples a valuable lesson about learning to trust him rather than giving in to fear. And we need to learn this lesson as well. In Luke chapter 8, verse 23 through 27, it says, as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him and said, Master, Master, we are perishing. I'm sure there's people who are saying the same thing today. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obeyed him. And they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time and who wore no clothes, nor did he live in the house but in the tombs. And Jesus cast out that demon from that man. Do you think that perhaps what happened on the lake was preparing them for that time, so that they would have faith in what Jesus would do? Remember, the Bible says that when Jesus went to his own country, he says he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So the disciples had to learn some hard lessons, didn't they? Folks, so must we sometimes, to learn to trust him in faith. Trust him in faith. Now, remember, the Bible says, all things are possible to him who believes. And there's another verse that says, is anything too hard for God? Now, we would all step back and say, well, of course not, he's God. But do we believe it? I mean, do we really believe it? Sometimes that has to be tested. Amen? God spoke this to Abraham. And even Abraham and Sarah struggled at what God said. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, it says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is this coronavirus, is it too hard for God to keep it away from you and your family? Is it too hard for God to even restore this nation?
No.
Nothing is too hard for God. So why are we so fearful? Because we lack faith. We lack faith. Fear is a feeling of anxiety and agitation caused by the presence of a real or imagined danger or an evil or a pain from a memory or a traumatic experience. It's not a disease. It is the process of thinking. And it all starts in the imagination. It starts in the mind. And we can imagine the worst at times, don't we? Did you know, I read this the other day, that the average person thinks 60,000 thoughts a day. And over 95% of those thoughts are the same ones that you had yesterday. And that thought seems like it's real, but most of them, honestly, you know, really are false perception. And that's one of the reasons why the Lord tells us and gives us this instruction in Philippians 4 and 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Now, I want to read that same one from the New Living Translation, chapter 4, verse 8 of Philippians. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." The Lord's going to keep your hearts and minds, it says. Someone once said that fear is false evidence appearing real. Again, many are held prisoners because of that fear. Job himself was held prisoner at one time. In Job 3 and 25, he says, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." Now, folks, I want to say this, that we all succumb to this from time to time. But I also want to point out the fact that there is times when fear is legit. Would you believe that? For example, you know, we buy insurance policies to cover things that we consider valuable, like our families, correct? We put locks and bars on the windows and doors. We buy alarm systems, and we even buy weapons for security, right? And there's a certain amount of fear that is, again, good and healthy, I believe, to being, proactive. That's the word, not preactive, proactive. But there is a fear here that especially I want to point out that is a good kind of fear, and that is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord increases your faith. But the fear in anything else can just be an intimidator, causing a person to worry and, again, affecting themselves psychologically and physically and, most of all, spiritually. And fear, it can consume a person's thoughts and keep them from getting anything done. It can cause people to hide, keeping them from interacting and loving people. I used to rock climb as a hobby when I was a teenager. Used to scare my mom and dad to death, you know, when I'd go out. But I have been on rock faces where I had just a little nub like this to hold on with my fingertips, and a little bitty nub with one foot. And I get scared. And that foot starts going like a sewing machine, you know? You know, I mean, I got a rope on it and everything, but I'm still, you know, what it does is it paralyzes you. And you have to overcome that fear to be able to even move. When you're in that situation, you just want to stay right where you are and not move. People when they're succumbed to fear, literally they just want to crawl up in a corner in a fetal position, sucking on their thumb, you know, hoping that nothing will touch them. But folks, God doesn't want you to live your life that way. He wants us to be out. He wants us to be moving and working for the kingdom of God. Remember, it was Winston Churchill who said, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And it's so true. The most severe fear is the kind that can keep us from intimacy with God and serving Him. And I believe that that's what that verse, as we read initially, is all about. It can keep us from stepping out of the boat, so to speak, and doing the things that God's asked us to do. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, it says that we are to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And we do that because the enemy does use fear as a weapon against us. There is a fear that is a godly fear, the Bible says. And that says godly fear produces repentance. So that's not to be repented of either. But again, what we're talking about the kind of things that the enemy uses that are contrary to the nature of God to keep us paralyzed. Truth is, if you're a non-believer and you don't know the Lord, there is a reason to fear. An unrepentant sinner should be afraid for standing before the holy, righteous God one day. It's a fearful thing, the Bible says. And the consequences of rejecting Jesus as the supreme Lord in their life should be absolutely terrifying to anyone. But the Scriptures teach us that because of humanity's stubborn and unrepentant heart, what they are doing is they are storing up wrath for the day of judgment. Romans 2, verse 5 through 6 says, but according with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Now, what about the believer? The born-again believer is to do what Colossians 3 and verse 5 and 6 says. Therefore, put to death the members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. So we do need to fear. That's one of the reasons why the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you that. So, as I mentioned, there's a positive side to this motion of fear. And it can be productive to warn us of real danger and to keep a person alive and causing them to take appropriate, necessary actions if need be. It helps us avoid dangerous situations such as driving too fast, jaywalking, respecting electricity, turning the gas off when you smell gas leaking. But you know, folks, what we're talking about here is the unreasonable fears that the enemy brings against us. When a person trusts God's discipline, they can be confident that He will protect them. When you're trusting God's confidence, you're walking in the fear of the Lord. And Proverbs 14, verse 26 through 27 says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. And his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. And the fear of the Lord is to hate the things that God hates. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. And then lastly, in Psalms 25:12 through 15, it says, who is the man that fears the Lord? He shall teach Him shall he teach in the way that he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he shall show them his covenant. I mean, God's going to reveal Jesus to you. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Destructive fear of the enemy, it can be broken out of our lives, folks. And if you're a Christian, if you've been living in fear, again, this is a fear that's opposite of trust. By trusting the Lord, your spirit, your mind, and your body can all be healed. This is a promise that God's given us. Jesus commanded us to stop worrying about tomorrow, didn't he? In Matthew 6:34, he says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So if a person is concerned and worried or stressed only about, you know, everything that comes his way, again, it can cause detrimental effects to his health. Stop worrying about tomorrow or feeling the regret of our yesterdays and forgive those who have hurt you and give your life entirely over to God. And here's what you need to be doing instead. What Proverbs 3, 5, and 8 says. Look what it tells us to do, but look at the promise that it gives us as well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And that's our problem, basically, in essence, you know. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Well, listen, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Isn't that what we all want? Trusting faith is a source of nourishment and a living health. And as we've seen in these verses, it requires a person to lean not on his own understanding, but to lean on the Lord. And that Hebrew word for lean there is described as to support oneself as though leaning on something for assistance. Remember, Jesus himself said, "Without me, you can do nothing." You got to put your whole weight on him, just as like you were putting your weight on a crutch. I've always appreciated what Greg Laurie said one time when he was being interviewed by Larry King. Larry King said, "Isn't following Jesus just a crutch?" Greg Laurie said, "If Jesus is a crutch, then I'm a cripple." Amen. God wants Christians to lean upon him and not upon themselves. Stop leaning on your own understanding, because that's the opposite of trusting the Lord. Because we don't hold tomorrow. Trusting in ourselves causes fear to be prevalent, even to the point of torment. When you have a fear like that, again, you know, all you're doing is giving that fear a bed to rest in. You know, and God wants us to be set free from that. I want to share one last verse here with you from Nahum 1 and 7. It says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust him." God knows everybody that trusts him. Tony Evans said this. He said, "Most of us have experienced our children's dependence on us to face their fears. When they have nightmares or when it's thundering and lightning during a storm, they'll wake up, they'll scream, and they'll jump out of their bed. They will walk through the valley of their bedroom, down the valley of the hall, to the valley of your room. They jump in your bed because they need, what they need is someone to be with them." Keep in mind, folks, Jesus said, "I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you." Your hugging them doesn't stop the rain, the thunder, or the lightning, but it changes how they face it. They fall asleep in your arms. The fear that they have alone, they no longer have because mama or daddy holds them. You help them face the fears in the midst of their struggles. And folks, this is exactly what the Heavenly Father does for us when we face our own fears and insecurities. walk down that hall. Amen? You seek Him, and He'll give you the peace that you need. You got to relinquish ownership of all your problems and give them to Him. Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. We still have to deal with the consequences of these things, but we don't have to be worried. We don't have to be stressed or anxious over them, because we have given them over to Jesus. He wants to carry them for you. I'll leave you one last scripture here, Isaiah 41 and 10. It says, "Fear not." What does that mean? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Amen. Who do you suppose that righteous right hand is? It speaks of Jesus. Amen. So we can put our confidence in the Lord. We don't have to allow the cares and the worries of this life to overwhelm us, where we become paralyzed, where we are ineffective for the kingdom of God. I want to encourage you to do as the psalmist said. I'm going to look to the mountain from whence comes my help. Amen? And trust the Lord to help you through every situation of life. He's faithful if you will trust Him. Amen? All right, let's bow our heads.